The Ramchal begins Perek Aleph of Mesilas Yesharim with a phenomenal and inspirational statement of goals for each and every person. Says the Ramchal, Perek Aleph, Sheha Adam La Nivra Elalis Aneid Al Hashem, Delehanos Miziv Shchinaso. The ultimate purpose of creation is for each and every person to have spiritual bliss and tremendous spiritual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shezehu hata'anug ha'amiti v'ha'idun ha'gadol b'chol ha'idonim sheyichon li'matze. This is the greatest, most deep and true pleasure in the world. Of all the pleasures a person can embark on, the ultimate pleasure, and indeed the ultimate purpose of creation, is for each person to have a connection to the ultimate spirituality, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To an extent, it's fascinating. It doesn't say some people, we presume that every single person, the Yesod in Yadus, is that we can all connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we're here. Even though the world is completely physical, our goal is to strive much higher, to strive for the ultimate spirituality. But then the Ramchal continues with a phenomenally striking phrase. Ki rak zehu atov. This and only this is good. B'chol zu azeh. And anything aside from this, sheyach shivuhu b'nei ha'adam l'tov, that people think is beneficial, eino ela hevel v'shav nit'eh, is only nothingness and empty distraction. Says the Ramchal, firstly, we're created to be spiritual, and anything else in the world that people think is a goal, that people think is real, that people think has merit, v'chol zu'azeh sheyachshivuhu b'nei ha'adam l'tov, anything that people think is good is complete nothingness. The only goal in life is to connect with Hashem spiritually. Very striking, very elegant, and very basic. Judaism believes in spirituality. Our goal is to connect to Hashem. As the Ramchal continues, both in Perek Aleph and other places, there are many, many, many physical media to connect to Hashem. Mitzvos, for example, relaxation, social connection. Those are important as a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, to help us be more mushlam and fulfill our abilities to connect to Hashem. But the ultimate goal in life, the sole goal in life, is to connect to Hashem. Ramchal is speaking about a basic philosophical idea in Judaism, which many, many speak about from the Torah till current times, that we focus on spirituality, not on materialistic goals. We don't presume that the amount of material wealth a person accrues is intrinsically valuable. Judaism believes in spirituality. It's very fascinating that in a completely different realm, in the world of psychological research, there's been a growing body of research that's explored a connection between a person's pursuit of materialism and their own personal well-being. Now, what's fascinating to me is, to an extent, I have a personal bias. If I see psychological research done by a person who has a religious bend, to an extent, I'm sometimes prone to call into question, is the research done qua the research, or the religious bend, or some other agenda that they might have? It doesn't mean that it automatically is going to undermine the research, but it's an important thing to keep in mind. If you see a person who's devoutly religious, who then also has psychological research, which proves their ideas, then you have to really ask yourself, was there a certain bias in the research? But there's a growing body of research by people that are completely not discussing religion. They don't ostensibly have a religious bias about the connection between materialism and personal well-being. To an extent, there have been a lot of independent research that's done recently, but in 2014, in a very well-respected journal, the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, there was an article entitled The Relationship Between Materialism and Personal Well-Being, a meta-analysis. A meta-analysis means they don't do their own research, but they research and they summarize all the other research. They go through it and comb through the methods, the way the research was done, different ideas, and they cull from all that research. They bring out concepts, things that were done properly, things that you might have been able to do in a better way, and they really summarize all the research, and this is extremely powerful. They looked at approximately 175 different studies and found, as they hypothesized, a negative correlation between materialism and personal well-being. That means that the more a person focused on materialism as a goal, less satisfaction and personal well-being was found. Not for a religious reason, but that's what they found across the board and across countries, the United States and Norway, Middle East, across the board. The more people focused on materialism as a goal, the less they were actually satisfied with life. And they suggest from the literature at least three reasons for this. Some of the reasons are more elaborated on by one of the co-authors of the article, a person named Dr. Tim Kasser, K-A-S-S-E-R, in a book he wrote with a very cute title called The High Price of Materialism. That was in 2002. But in this article in 2014, they suggest three codependent reasons that materialism might be correlated with negative self-image and negative well-being. And each one can be its own explanation and can work very beautifully and symbiotically with the other ones. The first one is that materialism was found to lead to negative self-appraisals. That means that often when a person sees advertising that exposes them to messages about materialism, the advertising also suggests, whether implicitly or explicitly, that the people that are viewing the advertisements are insufficient in one way or another. This leads to a lot of negative self-appraisals, to negative self-evaluations. Sometimes it's in comparison to others, what we call upward social comparisons. You look at the person in the advertisement, which is fictitious, or makes you think about others you know or that you know about that have what you don't have, and you compare yourself to others that have more. That's one way of having a negative self-appraisal. Another way is that it causes a person to negatively self-appraise themselves within themselves. They look at their current self, compare themselves to their ideal self, the self they think they could be, and they see they're not there. So not only comparison to others, but comparison to their own ideal selves, they feel lacking. And that's one reason the literature suggests that people often find that their personal well-being is affected the more prone they are to emphasis on materialism, negative self-appraisals. The second reason, which is fascinating, it to an extent has a little bit of a bias towards psychoanalysis, the idea of how a person's upbringing and early culture affected who they are, but this is from hardcore research. Often materialism is symptomatic of an underlying feeling of psychological insecurity. One of the leaders in that theory is Dr. Tim Kasser, who wrote that in his book in 2002, The High Price of Materialism. Experiments show that when they were able to create situations that people either had or perceived self-doubt, uncertainty, or salience of mortality, the fact that they felt more aware that people only lived to 120, and sometimes, Rechman al-Tzlan, even less, when they had insecurity in their relationships or economic insecurity, each of those factors automatically led to an increased focus on striving towards materialism. To an extent, as they summarized, it might be said that materialism is really a culturally sanctioned way. It's almost like a drug that culturally people still are allowed to use to cope with underlying feelings of insecurity. Now think about that for a minute. When people feel insecure in themselves, financially, relationship-wise, about life, one of the ways that we drug ourselves, this is research, this is not some of art, is by using materialism to placate us. Wow. And the third reason, which is, again, not mutually exclusive. But this is one that the research emphasizes perhaps the most, is that when a person pursues materialistic values, it creates a lifestyle, not just a belief. And when they have this lifestyle, that emphasis on materialism stunts the development of other aspects of themselves psychologically. For example, when a person is involved more in materialism, then they are less involved in behaviors that are necessary to develop their own competence. That means their ability to accomplish things they set their minds to, their own autonomy, their ability to make their own choices, and to develop less high-quality relationships. If a person's involved in pursuing materialism, then often they're going to do less activities that let them be themselves. Let them make choices, small choices, big choices in life. Let them acquire new skills and see that they can actually be competent in things they set their mind to. So here in this approach, it's not that materialism is negative per se, or a symptom of negativity, but the more focus there is on materialism, the more it crowds out the space in a person's life to develop themselves and to understand themselves and to develop new skills and new relationships. Three reasons, which each one is a world in of itself, but put together, these are reasons which suggest why it is that in these 175 different studies they found a negative correlation between materialism, more materialism, less personal well-being. But if that's not enough, there's a beautiful article published in the New York Times around 10 years ago. You can Google it, you can find it, just Google the words, "Materialism is bad for you." The article was published in the New York Times in the health section. It's entitled, "Materialism is bad for you, studies say." And there they quote Dr. Kasser again, as well as Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert is the author of a book called Stumbling Upon Happiness. He's a Harvard researcher, Harvard professor with a very congenial personality, a bit cynical. And firstly, Kasser has a phenomenal line. According to the article, Kasser compared the expanding pool of data on the potential harm of materialism to data on lung cancer caused by smoking. Preachers had long called smoking the devil's work, he said, but it was only when the cancer connection was proven scientifically that smoking really began to wane. So he's hoping that the increased research is going to help people focus less on materialism. But then the article continues that Dan Gilbert was more skeptical. Firstly, Dan Gilbert said there's a big problem to an extent. If money really ruined our lives, and the focus on materialism was clear and evident that it just didn't help, we'd understand we should withdraw from materialism. The problem is, he says in a legendary quote, it's wrong in a more nuanced way. We think money will bring lots of happiness for a long time. And actually, it brings a little happiness for a short time. So to an extent, since materialism does, very superficially and for a short period of time, cause a bit of a jump in happiness, we keep on looking for those rushes, and Gilbert's more skeptical. The article in the New York Times ends, let's try. Let's give them the data. Let's shout it from the mountaintops. But let's not be too surprised when all the people in the valley nod their heads knowingly and then go on to covet a Porsche and a new home and tickets to the Super Bowl. So much for the research and how much it's going to bring to bear on people's shifts in life, but it's a very powerful reminder of what the Ramchal told us in Mesilas Yesharim, Kol ma sheyachshivu b'nei adam l'tov, whatever people really think is good, eino el hevel v'shavnite, is a distraction from the ultimate purpose of life, l'saneid el Hashem, v'lehanos miziv shchinaso, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch.